That was good. That was good. I have permission from your pastor to share something with you briefly. When he extended the invitation to come, knowing that it was going to be on Mother's Day, I asked him if you guys were doing anything for Mother's Day as far as an offering in regards to the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home. And so he said he's going to call, and he just gave me permission to share a little something with you in regards to the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home. I'm not on staff with them, and I'll give you a little history in just a moment. And I asked Brother Jackie, because of where we are at First Baptist Lakeland, they're taking up an offering this morning. I told him I had some extra envelopes for the Mother's Day offering for the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home, and I'm just going to lay them right here. And you guys do what you want to with them. But the reason I'm sharing that with you briefly is because my wife and I, over the years, have served as house parents for the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home at the ranch in Millington on three different occasions for a total of 9 years. And so that's the reason I'm sharing it with you this morning. I could share more. I could share with you stories and things that are related to our experience as house parents, but we can do that way some other time. And so if you're wanting to, if you want to, like I said, the envelopes are here. Brother Jackie, like I said, gave me permission to share that with you this morning. That's all I'm going to say about that. Also, I ran into somebody here at this church, and I believe I have his name correct, Bobby Sauer. Where are you, Bobby? It's amazing how God just works things out. He knows my dad. And, of course, my dad passed away back in 1990, but they played together, from what we understand, at the old Bluegrass Shack in Millington. My dad used to play instruments by ear, mandolin, violin, upright, guitar, and all those kinds of things. Long story about that. So I'm going to tell my mama that I met somebody that knew Daddy this afternoon. So that's a neat thing to have happen. So now I feel like I'm really at home. And then I have some friends with me that are here. One couple there, Aaron and her husband, they live here in Bartlett. Susan lives in Shelby Forest, but she drove all the way from Oklahoma. Not to be specifically here, but she's here because she's here to visit her mama as well. I want to share with you from the book of Acts, chapter 16. Verses 14 and 15. And as you're turning there, I just want to say, first off, thank you for allowing me to be here. Brother Jackie and Sweet Libby have been friends of ours for a very long time. And I'm excited to know that he's here with you guys on a permanent basis. And you all know by now that Libby is the better half. But they are, as you know, visiting their son in a little place called Texas. And so just pray for them as they're spending time with family and they have safe travels as they come back. But thank you for allowing me to be here with you today. I am currently serving as the associate pastor at First Baptist Church Lakeland under the leadership of Dr. Kilpatrick. And so that's all I want to say about that this morning. Also, I want to say Happy Mother's Day. It is a special day for you and for us. Briefly, again, my mama lives in Millington. She will be 82 years old this year. She has been teaching fourth grade Sunday school at First Baptist Millington for about 40 years. And so I'm thankful that I have a mama that loves the Lord and has been faithful all these years. And so I'm going to give a little shout out to my mama. I called her last night to let her know I love her and that, you know, Happy Mother's Day a day early. But I understand what it means to have a mama. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my mama. So Happy Mother's Day. I always say this on Mother's Day. Moms aren't perfect. They're just precious. In the book of Acts, you have a brief story about a lady. The Bible says in verse 14, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira." Now we're going to camp out on that word in just a minute. "Who worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." This morning, as we are celebrating the lives of our mothers for the things they do and for the impact that they have on all of us, I want to share a message from this passage that I hope will encourage everyone, especially moms. We know that the Lord Jesus had a mom, and her name was Mary, and I'm sure they had a very special, unique relationship. But if you're here today and you're a mom, and you think that nobody cares, you think that maybe in your own mind your life really doesn't matter, or you feel as though nobody appreciates you, always know this: Jesus loves you. And if there's anything that you walk out of this building with, is this: God loves you. God loves Lydia. And we're going to see this love being manifested in these passages. I've titled the message this morning simply, "God Uses Ordinary Women to Do Extraordinary Things." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for our moms. They do deserve to be honored today. My prayer this morning is, as we deliver this message, as we listen carefully, that we would think about motherhood, the relationship that moms have with us. And I pray that the Lord Jesus will encourage each and every mom by this message today, that they'll walk out of here encouraged. I pray, God, that you'll strengthen them, edify them, walk with them, love on them. This morning, Lord, I pray that every word that flows out of my mouth flow like honey from the comb. And may every word be sweet to every saint. And may each word serve as a healing ointment to a hurting heart. Lord, I thank you for the water that's in my cup and for the bread that's on my table. And God, I pray that as this message is being shared from the Bible, that if there's anybody here that's lost, that they would be saved. And those that are saved would be encouraged. And when we get to the invitation time, God, I pray that your will be done. These things we pray in Jesus' name. In this message, I want to share with you three very simple things. Number one, and the outline is in your bulletin. Number one, she heard the gospel. She heard the gospel. The Bible says that a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Now, that's how we say that name. But if you look it up in the Greek, that place, that city is Thuetera, Thuetera. Now, I as a pastor have to kind of decide which is easier, Thyatira or Thuetera. And so you might hear me say that interchangeably, but the correct way to say that city is Thuetera. And so you might hear that. So when you hear that, I'm talking about Thyatira, the city in which Lydia lived. The Bible says this certain woman of the Bible, in the Bible, mentions her name. It mentions her occupation, and it also mentions her location. But it also mentions the fact that she would worship God. Now that sounds like the kind of woman that's got her life all together. She's busy. She's active. She's at the river on a Saturday with the other women praying. And we're going to spend a little time talking about her, but we want to also emphasize this morning that moms are busy people. They really are. Aren't they? All right. Moms are busy. They do so much. Ordinary moms are expected to do ordinary things. God created you and you are wonderfully made. You're gifted, talented. You are able to do a myriad of things at the same time. You can cook, change diapers, answer the phone, clean the house, all at the same time. Men don't know how to do that. We weren't made that way. But women are able to, moms are able to do a multitude of things at the same time that makes you special. But not only are you special to us, but you are special to the Lord. So let's talk about Lydia for just a moment. And hopefully what you'll find is that you can identify yourself with her in some ways. In this outline, I want you to see letter A, her city. In Acts 16, verse 14, of the city of Thuatira. That's her location. It's where she lives. It may be referred to, if we had time to talk to her, could talk to her, she might say, that's my home place. Some of you could look at your life in the history of your life as moms and say, this is my home place. Or maybe you are raised somewhere else and you can say, well, I'm going to go back to my home place. But Lydia grew up, as best we know, in a city called Thuatira, her home place. This place was located in the province of Asia Minor, which is now Asiatic Turkey. We know that Luke wrote the book of Acts around A.D. 60, and so what you have here is a little history. About 60 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the birth of the church, Paul went out into the highways and the byways to reach the gospel, or share the gospel and to reach the Gentiles. And as he's on his journeys, he comes across a group of women down by the river. The Bible says that he saw a certain woman. That word certain indicates for me that there was something about her that maybe had set her apart from the others. It says she was a certain woman. Maybe she expressed interest more so than the others. Maybe there was something that Paul noticed that caused him to say she was a certain woman. Paul uses that word several times. As a matter of fact, if you go to Acts chapter 16, verse 1, in reference to Timothy's family, his mom, his grandma, the Bible says a certain disciple was there in reference to Timothy, and then the son of a certain woman in reference to his mom. I believe that word certain indicates something special. A certain woman. Paul is preaching, and he's going down to the river. He runs into these women, and he hangs out with them for a little while. And in Thuatira also is a rich history. It goes all the way back to 282 B.C., and it was a Roman garrison, so we can kind of get an idea of the political environment. It was a place where commerce took place. There was a very influential location. There was a lot of selling and trading and buying and all kinds. So it's kind of a rich place, so to speak. And the Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia says commercial prosperity attracted a large Jewish minority to the city. There was opportunity in that city to go and make a living. Because what do most people want to do is they want to make a living and provide for their family. It was a place where you could buy and sell goods. And Lydia lived in this city. We could say maybe it was a simple city, a small town, maybe. Maybe she just did what we would refer to as living a simple life. And we also know, we'll notice in just a minute, that she probably had a very simple business. Moms today call Bartlett, my home place. Maybe this is where you grew up. Maybe this is where you've lived all your life. And this is your city. The second thing I want you to see is not only her city, but her craft. In verse 14, it says she is a seller of purple. So that means that Lydia has a special skill set. She knows a trade. And she's good at it. God gifted her by giving her the skills to turn ordinary garments into extraordinary garments. She could take a regular plain-looking cloth, color it with purple dye, and make it a beautiful garment. She was skilled. She had a talent to be able to do that particular thing. In Haley's Bible handbook, it says Lydia, whom Paul met in Philippi, was a Thyatiran seller of turkey red or purple dye for which that city was famous. So this was a famous dye that was used to make beautiful garments. This certain lady had a certain talent. Some of you here today, if not all of you moms here today, are gifted. Not everybody's gifted the same way, but you've been given a gift by God. And so God planted that in your heart. God uses that skill set in your life to do what you enjoy doing, what you like to do. Maybe you own a business. Maybe you do something else. Maybe there's something else that you've tapped into. But know that that gift came from God. As a matter of fact, purple dye was famous back in the day. Sell purple cloth, to be able to keep that going, you had to stay busy. You can't expect the cloth to turn purple on its own. You had to get your hands into it. You had to get the dye. You had to get the garments. And so I can picture in my own heart that Lydia was a very crafted, very gifted woman, and she was a busy woman. All moms are busy moms. Busy doing all kinds of things. In Proverbs 31:13, the Bible says, she seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. You see, that's a description of a virtuous woman, a woman that's not lazy. She's busy, always doing, always working, or always using her gift or talents to do things in that way. Moms are talented, special. Every once in a while when I talk to my mom, she kind of, not sarcastic, but she says, I have no talents, I have no gifts. She thinks that she had passed it on to all of us. I'm an artist, I like to draw. My dad was a musical person, he could play by ear. My brother likes to work with wood, and my sister, she's gifted in an occupation where she does work for a dental office. And so my mom says, I gave you all my talents. But that's not true. My mom is talented in a different way. She took all of us kids at the time we were little to church. She's not lazy. Lydia was busy, wasn't lazy. Not only do you see her city and her craft, but I want you to see her character. The Bible says, in a certain woman named Lydia. Again, that word certain indicates specificity or uniqueness. Warren Wiersbe says, a religious woman with an open heart. So, Warren Wiersbe points out in this passage that Lydia, as talented as she was, as busy as she was religious. The Bible says in Acts 16, verse 13, and on the Sabbath she went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was accustomed to be made. Did you know a lot of moms are religious, but they've never been redeemed? That's Lydia. At this very moment, in Lydia's life. She was busy. She was talented. She was going to the river to pray with the other women. She was religious, but she wasn't saved. And even today, there are a lot of moms that are busy and they're talented and maybe they do attend a prayer meeting somewhere, but they're not saved. Lydia was religious. She hung out with other religious women. Nothing wrong with praying, but the truth is she's not saved. Not to be sarcastic in any way, but maybe she filled out a card, joined a congregation, walked the aisle, but she never gave her heart to Jesus. You see, mamas need the Lord. But not only do you see her city, her craft, and her character, but I want you to see her church. The Bible says in verse 14, who worshiped God heard us. It's a little play on words. But she would go down to the river to pray. Maybe in her mind, she thought that's her church. That's where the other women went. That's where the prayer took place. I met a guy several years ago who loved the outdoors. I was still, even to this day, I'm trying to build a relationship with him for the purpose of being able to share Jesus with him. And one day when I was out there where he was camping, trying to strike up a conversation, he looked towards the woods, the ridge, and he put his hands up and he said, "This is my church." I was like, "No, this is not church." There are people out there who believe that whatever it is they're doing and wherever they're going, and they just have some sort of relationship with God where they say, this is my church. The Bible says in verse 14, and they heard us. Paul was preaching and sharing the gospel right there down there by that river where all those ladies were. And she heard Paul. That's the coolest thing. Something Paul said got her attention. And so she's down there by the river, and Paul comes along, and he's sharing the gospel with those women and with her especially. And for the very first time possibly, Lydia heard the gospel. And the Bible says she heard us. I'm confident Paul took the time to just deliver the simple plan of God's salvation. And maybe today in Bartlett, Tennessee, you're a businesswoman. You work hard to make ends meet. You do everything you can to keep the mouths fed and keep the home clean. But you're religious. You mean well, but you really don't know Jesus. Let me share with you what I believe Paul shared with that bunch at the river. I believe he shared the gospel with them, the plan of salvation. I believe he shared with them that you need to know that you're a sinner. The Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, in Romans 3:10. And then I think he shared with them how Jesus died for their sins. The Bible says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I believe Paul went on to tell them that all you have to do in a very simple prayer is receive Jesus Christ, to repent and turn to Jesus. And maybe he said, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I believe that Paul shared Jesus with those women, and the Bible says that Lydia heard. Lydia, a religious woman, a working woman, heard God's plan of salvation. Aren't you glad that Paul shared Jesus with Lydia? And aren't you glad that you can still share Jesus today? The same gospel that Lydia heard is the same gospel that needs to be heard today. Well, not only did she hear the gospel, but she received the gospel. the Bible says, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul, and when she was baptized. Religious women, folks, can be saved. The Bible clearly tells us that she was born again. She was redeemed. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us everything that Paul had shared with them. We don't know everything there is to know. We don't know how long he stayed with them. We don't know if he shared his testimony. We don't know if he preached a sermon. We don't know anything other than he preached something and she heard it and she received it. He preached the gospel. The passage speaks of her receiving the good news of the gospel. Is it possible today on Mother's Day that there are some moms here, some ladies who are religious, they worship God, but they've never repented of their sins and trusted Jesus Christ to be their personal Lord and Savior? Maybe you started going to church and you were hearing the gospel being preached and the Word of God had pierced your heart in times past and you felt the conviction of the Lord in your heart and you knew that you needed to be saved, but you didn't make that decision. You know, that could have been Lydia's life. Maybe she heard it before but didn't get saved. Maybe somebody came along and shared before. She heard something, heard enough that it pricked her heart, but she didn't have enough to know what to do. And then Paul comes along. Maybe you're a mom here today. You're a lady here today. You've heard the gospel, but you've never been saved. The Bible says, whose heart the Lord opened. God's been dealing with on the inside. You know, we're so full of pride sometimes, we really don't want anybody to know that God's dealing with us. You sit in a service, you sit in a church, you sit and you listen to sermons and sermon after sermon and preaching after preaching and verse after verse. God just keeps talking to your heart. He keeps speaking to you. He keeps tugging at you. He keeps pulling at you. And you hear that tender voice from heaven that says, be saved today. Be saved today. Be saved today. And you just keep putting it off. The Bible says, whose heart the Lord opens. We open a lot of things in life. You open the front door all the time. We don't even think about it. You go home and open the garage door. You open bank accounts and you put money in it. You open the car door, the refrigerator door. That's my favorite door. Is the refrigerator door. I like to open up presents, but when God opens the heart, it's special. Because when God opens the heart, it's for the purpose of putting something in your heart. Lydia got saved. Paul comes along and he's doing what he's good at doing and sharing the gospel. He runs into a bunch of women down at the river praying. He shares Jesus with them. And there's that certain woman, Lydia. She's unique, special, talented, gifted. She heard the gospel and she received the gospel and she got saved. Now the Bible says that right after that, she was baptized. Now, you know it, and I know it, but baptism doesn't save you. When you get saved, after you get saved, then you get baptized. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward event, so to speak. It's letting everybody know, I've been saved, but now I want to be obedient to Jesus through baptism, by baptism. And I want everybody to know I'm saved. And you are a picture when you're baptized. You know this. It is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says she heard. We know she got saved and baptized. Maybe you're here today and you're just like Lydia. You've been saved, but you've never been baptized. You're a mama and you're just like, oh, I'm so busy, I ain't got time. I don't understand it all. I don't know what to do. I don't want nobody to think differently about it. I'm afraid to go to the front. Listen, if you're here today and you're a mama and you've been saved, but you've never been baptized, may I encourage you to be baptized. The Bible says in verse 15, she was baptized. Every Sunday here at Calvary Baptist Church, you extend the invitation for folks to be saved and for folks that have been saved to be baptized. Maybe that's you today. The word baptize, you know, means to immerse. And so the Bible says very simply, she was saved, she was baptized. Well, Lydia heard the gospel, she was saved. We know she followed the Lord in baptism. But the third thing that I want you to see in this outline is not only did she hear the gospel, not only did she receive the gospel, but she shared the gospel. The Bible says, and her household. Her household. Verse 15. The Bible says, and her household. What does that mean? It means there are some more folks that got saved. Now just picture for just a moment, if you could just go back in time and sit somewhere in the vicinity of that riverbank, see all those women down there praying. Paul arrives, and he sits there, and he visits with them. He shares Jesus with them. Lydia gets saved. She's baptized in that river. And then all of a sudden, within moments' time, she runs home and says, guess what happened to me? Now, we don't know a whole lot about Lydia's home. We don't know anything about her family, other than it says her household, which gives you room to maybe make some kind of connection. Maybe it was just routine for her to go down to the river and meet those ladies. Ladies like to hang out together. Have you noticed that? You may not go to the river, you may go to the coffee shop. You may not go to the river, you may go to the mall. You may not go to the river, you may go somewhere else. And I've been to the stores, I've been to restaurants where there's a whole bunch of women sitting around the table drinking coffee and talking and eating eggs and talking and having toast and talking. And when they get done eating and drinking and all that kind of stuff, their breakfast, they keep on talking. And so Lydia just, she was a talker. We don't know. And so she, the Bible says she, her household. Warren Wiersbe wrote, the word household implies that the members of the family and the slaves who understood the word, believed and were saved, and then were baptized. Folks, there ain't nothing like having a house full of Christians because of the influence of a mom who had the courage to go home and tell everybody, guess what happened to me today? I was down at the river and I was doing my normal thing on a Saturday morning, but some man named Paul came and he preached Jesus and I heard about God's plan of salvation. And I was convicted of my sin, and I repented of my sin, and I trusted Jesus. Now He's in my heart. I'm saved. She ran home and told her house she had been saved. If you want to have an impact on your house, Mama, tell them you're saved. You see, what's neat about my family and my situation is I know my mama's saved. There's no greater joy in my heart to know that if God decided to take her home today or 10 years from now, my mama will go and be with Jesus. And if I'm fortunate enough or whatever, and I have to preach my mama's funeral, which I won't have a problem doing, I will be able to tell everybody my mama is in heaven. Why? She was saved. She shared the gospel. People in the house got saved. Folks, that's good stuff. Wouldn't it be cool if every household, every mama got saved? home with COVID. Like I said, I don't know the whole story about Lydia's family. There's no mention of a husband. We don't know if she had children, to be honest with you, but it says her household. Maybe her husband was home. Maybe her husband passed away. We don't know. Maybe she had other folks living in the house with her. It could have been cousins, aunts, uncles. Could have been her parents. We don't know what her house was like. But regardless, what we do know is that she went home and she told everybody, "I'm saved." And folks, that ought to encourage you. Because if Lydia can do it, so can you. You see, God uses ordinary women to do extraordinary things. And if you'll give your life to Jesus Christ, Jesus will use your life for His glory. Brother George, you don't understand my situation. You don't understand my home life. You don't know how I was brought up. You don't know the people in my family. My family is dysfunctional. My family is crazy. Listen, everybody's got somebody in their family that's crazy. Don't shout no names up in here. But God can use you regardless of your family. God would use you to impact your house with the gospel. So here we are getting close to the end. Lydia heard the gospel. She received the gospel. And she shared the gospel. That can be you today. If you're here today and you're saved, you're a mom, you know the Lord. You know that you're saved. You know that when you die, you'll go to heaven. In your heart, just say, "Lord, thank you that somebody shared Jesus with me, and I got saved." Maybe here today, and you're a mama, and things are crazy, and you don't know what to do. It seems like every time you move forward, you got to go back 100 yards. And you feel like nobody's on your side, and you feel like nobody supports you, and you feel like you're being thrown to the curb, so to speak. I want you to know God loves you. And God can use you. You may be here today and you're a mom, you've been saved, but you know you need to be baptized. And all you have to do is come forward and make it public and say to me or somebody else and say, "I know I'm saved, but I want to be obedient." In just a moment, I'm going to ask, bow our heads and close our eyes as we enter into the time of invitation. If you're here today and you're not saved, God has got a hold of your heart this morning. And He's tenderly speaking to it and saying, "I love you. I want to save you. You come. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. I pray, God, that your will be done. And Lord, I know that specifically the message may have been directed to our mamas, but there may be somebody else here today, a teenager, a little boy, a little girl, a family, a father, a husband. And God's speaking to your heart, be saved. Be saved. And if you hear that voice from heaven, don't hesitate to come. Give your heart to Jesus. It's simple. All you have to do is say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And therefore, Lord, I want to repent of my sins. And I'm asking you, Lord, this morning, come into my heart. my Savior, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Dear Father, as we begin to sing this hymn, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would move among this congregation, that the things that are said and done will bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand and sing the hymn of invitation, if God is speaking to your heart this morning, you come. Now's the time to come. I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and close your eyes as she plays softly. Nobody looking around. If you're here today and you know in your heart you need to be saved, this invitation that's being extended this morning is just for you. You're being invited to Jesus. If you can hear that voice, be saved. You come. Maybe you're here today and you've been saved. You've never made that decision public. If you want to let everybody know here today that you've been saved, but you want to follow the Lord in obedience to baptism, you come. Maybe you're looking for a church home and you know this is where God wants you to plant your feet and your family and serve God through this local church. You've been praying about it. You come. In just a moment, we're going to be led through one more stanza of this hymn. And if God is speaking to your heart, or maybe there's some other decision that you need to make, you come.